on a series of relationships in the church. We began last week looking at the relationship of love in the church. Before that, we saw that church is a relationship of unity. By way of review, the place given to love throughout the scriptures, of course, is a place of prominence. It is a place of necessity, a very vital place. And there is a special relationship of love that exists or should exist in a body of Christ. We know that the family of God is quite large, very widespread, but each of the Lord's churches are referred to as households. And as we've already said, a family is usually made up of several households, and those who make up a household have an attachment that goes beyond the family circle. And there is a knowledge and there is an interrelationship and a fellowship that exists in a household that may not exist in the family circle. And so it is with the body of Christ. We saw last week that you and I are to love others. This is enforced by the law of God. It is forced by the fact that love is of God. We saw in 1 John, and that God is love, we saw in 1 John, and it is also enforced by God's love to us. We saw that the pattern by which we are to love our neighbor is as thyself, as thyself. But the pattern by which we are to love those in the same body of Christ is different. Notice again in John 13, Jesus is speaking to the apostles on the Passover night. He's speaking to them in church capacity. And in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, not as yourselves, but as I have loved you." As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Notice in John 15 and verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, how does Christ love us? Notice John 15, verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Christ loves us as the Father loved Him. And we are to love the members of the body of Christ as Christ loved us. And this is an obligation. No man anything but to love one another. This love is to be sincere, we saw last week. It is to be fervent. It is to be abounding. That is, it's always growing. If we are to love Christ or to love one another, again, this is a love that goes beyond the family circle. This is a love within the body of Christ. If we are to love one another as Christ loved us, there isn't anyone who does not fall short. We all fall short. Anytime Jesus is the pattern, we fail. We fall short. But it teaches us the responsibility that we have. Now notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we want to see the characteristics of this love. We've already saw verses 1 through 3 last week. And we see that if we do not possess this love, this translated charity here, that all is in vain. All of our service to the Lord is in vain. He then gives the characteristics. He gives a 16-fold description of the characteristics of this love. Beginning with verse 4, we'll read through verse 8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So what is the kind of love that Paul is describing? That word translated charity, of course, is the word agape. He did not use the word phileo, which is indicative more of an affection, a sentiment, a feeling, a love of friendship. But he uses that word agape. In 1 John 4, verse 8, and also 1 John 4, verse 16, we read, God is love, or God is agape. God is agape. The kind of love that Paul is describing here is divine love. It is agape love. It is God love. It is the love that we are to have one for another. It is the highest form of love in the Bible. And that is the love that we are to have for one another. It's a selfless love. It is a love that is of a spiritual nature. We're not just talking about an emotion here. We're talking about something that is spiritual. Something that is planted within the heart of a saved individual. So this is not a love that is natural to man. It is not a love that you can work on. It is not a love that you can just pump up whenever you feel like it. In 1 John 4, verse 7, there's the exhortation, Beloved, let us love, or let us agape one another. And that is followed by two statements. For love, agape, is of God. And everyone that loveth agape is born of God. Only those who are born of God can have this kind of love. And it is a sign, it is one of the results of the new birth. We see that Paul is really here in 1 Corinthians 13, he's giving a description of God's love. He's giving a description of Christ's love. But that's our pattern. And it is this love, Christ's love, God's love, that we are to imitate, that we are to exemplify. So this is the love that is to be imitated and exemplified in God's people. And it is a love that ought to prevail, especially in the body of Christ. And again, it is the absence of this love that makes everything to be in vain. Now, as you read through verses 4 through 8, it is very evident that this love is not a mere emotion. Again, we saw last week, in order to understand the command to love one another, you have to know what love is, and most people don't. And we spent some time on that last week. But this love is not a mere emotion. It's a force. It is a force within us that influences us to act. It is a force within us that produces behaviors. This love is an object of Satan's hatred. Satan hates this kind of love. Consequently, he makes determined opposition to its existence. He is always in opposition to this love. Whenever you and I exercise this love, there will be Satan to oppose it. And he endeavors by all means to prevent the cultivation of this love. And this is the love that we are to cultivate. This love is also opposed to all the selfish principles of our fallen nature. In other words, our fallen nature, our sinful flesh opposes this love. So we see that the obstacles to this love are many. But when you get right down to unity in the church, it always comes back to this kind of love. You will not possess, and you certainly will not maintain, unity of the Spirit where this love is non-existent. Again, we're not just talking tonight about a mere affection. We're not just talking about a mere emotion. We're talking about loving the members of the body of Christ as Christ loved us, as the Father loved Jesus Christ. And this is the love that Paul is describing here. And again, it is absolutely necessary. It is absolutely essential to the unity of the Spirit. So let's begin. We're not going to cover it all tonight, of course, but let's begin looking at the description of this love. And we can put ourselves to the test, though many times we're not honest enough to test ourselves. But you can put yourself to the test if you're honest, and you can put your name in the place of charity. You can put your name in front of each of these descriptions and ask ourselves, is it so? Is it so? We are not to have more love for our blood relations than we do the members of the body of Christ. We are not to have more love for other Christians outside of this body than we are for those who are members of this particular body. This is a household. And there is a relationship of love that is to exist in this household. And the enjoyment of that. Charity suffereth long. Love is long-suffering. Now think about that. Those very words, charity suffereth long, or love is long-suffering. The very words are indicative of the fact that those we love are not perfect. If they are perfect, you wouldn't have to be long-suffering. Those we love have faults. Those we love have flaws. They have blemishes. Again, the very statement, charity suffereth long, is indicative of this fact. Also, those words tell us that those we love will at times try our patience. Charity suffereth long. That is, those we love at times. This is certainly, church members are no exception. We will try one another. Charity suffereth long. That implies that those we love at times will cause us some injuries. You will be hurt in a church. You'll be hurt wherever there's people given enough time. That in mind, you will hurt those in the church, and you and I will hurt others. Hopefully not on purpose, but because of human nature, we injure one another from time to time. Charity suffereth long. See, some people get the idea that in a church I should never be injured. Well, that's not going to happen. The only way that would happen is if everybody was perfect, but no one is. So you're going to receive some injuries. For those who, every time they're injured, they stay out of church, I'll tell you why. Because they do not possess this love. Charity suffereth long. The very ones who make the accusation, the church is unloving because they hurt me. The very accusation and the very fact that they leave shows that they're the ones who are unloving. Love patiently bears the injuries. It's not that there will not be injuries. There will be. It's not that people will not try us. It's not that people will not get on our last nerve at times. But love bears the injuries. Love is able to suffer long. Now think about that. Suffereth long. That means that you bear the injuries without doing anything to revenge them. As soon as you start to revenge the injuries, now unity of the Spirit is broken down. And it all gets back to this lack of love. It means that you bear the injuries without doing anything against them with a spirit of resentment. This long suffering is opposed to a spirit of vengeance. It is opposed to a spirit of resentment. You see, it may work at the workplace. I'm mad at so-and-so, so I'm not going to speak with them. That doesn't work in the house of God. There's no place for it in the house of God. No place whatsoever. It can work at school. It can work on the playground. It can work at the job. But it does not work in the body of Christ. And people need to realize that. We see in Romans chapter 12, if we turn there, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That is, leave it with God. Someone injures you, leave it with God. Leave it with Him. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Proverbs 23. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That is not within us. That is not within our spirit. That is not within our human nature. That requires this love of Christ dwelling in our hearts. Now it says that charity suffereth long, or love is long-suffering, which means that it will bear not merely with a small injury, but a great deal of injurious treatment. It's not that you can just put up with one offense, a small injury. There are people who can't even tolerate one injury. But it's long-suffering. That is, it's able to endure injury upon injury upon injury. This love. Many people think that, well, this is too much to ask. You had better give long thought to the long-suffering of God. Every day of our lives, God suffers long. He bears innumerable injuries. God does us good, and then He bears innumerable injuries from the very ones that He has blessed. So it does not work to say, well, I've treated them nice, and here's what they do to me. That's why charity is long-suffering. Charity is able to endure the offense. And it does so on a long-continued basis. It is long-suffering. So this love is able to endure many. Many and continued offenses. Love is long-suffering. That means it makes one willing to suffer an injury. It makes one willing to forbear. It makes one willing to suffer an injury. It means that one is not quick to defend against injuries. That's not love. This kind of love is not quick to defend against injuries. It causes one to be meek. It causes one to be humble. Love is long-suffering. It is not quick to take offense. There have been those, no matter what you say to them, they are going to be offended. No matter what anybody in the church does, they are going to be offended. The problem is not with the church in those cases. The problem is the individual who is always offended. They do not have this love, because this kind of love is not quick to take offense. Now, if people are quick within a body of Christ to defend themselves against injuries, if they are quick to take offense, unity of the Spirit is destroyed. So you see, this love is absolutely necessary for unity of the Spirit. Those, again, who are quick to take personal offense to the treatment that they perceive, and I put emphasis on that, the treatment they perceive from others, they lack this love. Love is long-suffering. It is opposed to haste. It is also opposed to haste and becoming angry. Those who are quickly angered lack this love. People say, well, they need to go to an anger management class. Perhaps they do, but that's not really the root of the problem. The root of the problem is they lack love. Charity suffereth long. It is not hasty in becoming irritable. Love is long-suffering. The members of a body of Christ ought to rather bear personal injuries from others in the body than bring harm to the body of Christ. Our attitude ought to be, I will take that injury, I will leave it to God, I am not going to harm the body of which I am a member. Not going to do it. I'll just give it to the Lord. This love is able to do that. So this long-suffering love is essential to possessing and maintaining unity of the Spirit. The second thing we are told is that it is kind. Charity is kind. Again, just like unity, unity is not mere politeness. You can be the most polite people in the world, that doesn't mean there's unity. And we've already gone through all of that. The same is true of love. Love is kind. That's much more than showing politeness. That's much more than showing good manners toward one another. Love is kind. This love of God in the heart, and that's where it has to be, inclines us, persuades us, and influences and motivates us to do good to others. Even those who cause us injuries. Love is not just kind to those who are kind to us. If you can only love those people that are nice to you, if you can only love those people that are kind to you, you're no better than a lost man. They can do that. But love is kind. Love is kind even to those who cause us injuries. We're going to have injuries. We're going to receive injuries from other members of the body of Christ. But the love of God in our hearts inclines us and motivates us to do good to them. Notice this principle is stressed. We already read there in Romans chapter 12. But notice in the book of Matthew, and we read these verses last week, the book of Matthew chapter 5. Verses 43 through verse 48. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I, Christ, say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. That is not within us naturally. Love your enemies. And there can be those in the body of Christ. They may not be your enemy, but they may do an enemy's work. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Again, that is not your fleshly inclination. It is not the fleshly inclination of any of us when somebody curses us to say, have a good day, sir. That's not our fleshly inclination. Do good unto them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you or afflict you, that you may be the children of your Father, that you may manifest that you are the children of your Father, which shows that this, what it takes to do these things, again, comes from the new birth, which is in heaven, for God is now our example. He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He doesn't just let the sun rise on the good, but the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only. There are those in a body of Christ that will not even salute one another in the same body. That should never be. That should never be. If you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Again, he's our example. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and verse 36. But love ye your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Well, I was kind to them and they still were rude to me. I've had it. It's not what this verse says. Hoping for nothing again. I'm going to be kind to them because that is the right thing to do. No matter what they do to me, that's what this love does. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, love is kind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. That's true outside of the body of Christ. But it is true within the body of Christ. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, the body of Christ, and to all men. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrawise, or in contrast, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Love is kind. Again, this is not a love that can be worked up. The love of God in the heart will persuade you. The love of God in the heart will influence you to do good unto others. To do good even unto those who injure us. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. It not only will influence and motivate us to do good to others, but it will motivate us to do good to others cheerfully, heartily, liberally, bountifully, and freely, expecting nothing in return. It's not hard to see that if this love exists within a body of Christ, you have something special. There's something very special where this kind of love exists, where this kind of love is in the air. Love is kind. That is, it has no desire for revenge. It desires good for others. And it desires to do good to others. This kind of love is really active goodwill. It is actively doing good. It is actively hoping that good will come upon others, especially those within the body of Christ. Something is terribly wrong when members of the same body of Christ do not even desire good for one another. Something's terribly wrong with that. Love is kind. It is serving. Kind love is serving love. It's gracious love. Well, they didn't treat me right. God is kind to us. God is good to us. And it's all by grace. And He's our example. We're to be gracious. This love that disposes one to do good to others, again, is essential to possessing and maintaining the unity of the Spirit. We'll look at one more description here tonight and we'll stop. There again in verse 4, the third description, charity envieth not. Love is not jealous. We could go on for a week. But we'll be very short. Envy or jealousy is a spirit of dissatisfaction, an opposition to the prosperity or happiness of others as compared with our own. But why did God bless them? I'm more faithful than they are. Don't ever talk about fairness with God. You'll come up on the short end every single time. That's a foolish discussion to get into with God. This love is not jealous. Why? Because it's kind. It wishes good for others. That is why the members of a body can rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Envy or jealousy always includes a feeling of resentment. When you and I become dissatisfied because God gives someone else more than us, there will always, in a little time, there will be resentment toward that person. That destroys unity of the Spirit. In other words, jealousy is a destructive force. Read the Bible. People were murdered. People were killed out of envy and out of jealousy. It is a destructive force. You mark it down. Anyone who is jealous of you is a dangerous person. They are dangerous. That's not unloving, that's a fact. They are dangerous. Because envy is a destructive force. And you take a body of Christ in most of the Lord's churches, comparatively to the religious world's churches, are very small. We have very small bodies, speaking of a body of Christ. And all it takes is one person to get envious, and it can destroy everything. But charity solves this problem. Charity is not jealous. Paul rebuked the Corinthian church. There in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, he said, "For ye are at carnal, for where is there is among you envying?" And then it goes on to say there was strife and there was division. But the root problem, I suppose the root problem of the strife and division could be said to be envy, but the root problem of envy is a lack of love. Because charity envieth not. So where there is this love of God in the heart, the jealousy and envy that is natural to our flesh is overcome. It's overcome. Envy or jealousy is a manifestation of selfishness. It's also a manifestation of a feeling of superiority. I'm more worthy than they are. I should have that. Well, that proceeds from a spirit of superiority. That proceeds from a spirit of worth. But the love of God in the heart rises above a feeling of selfishness, rises above a feeling of superiority or worthiness. Love is not jealous. The love of God in the heart delights to see another blessed. They delight in it. They rejoice in it. It pleases them to see someone else blessed. People make statements. You get something new, automobile, whatever. People make statements. They make them many times in a joking way. But folks, it's no joke. It's jealous. It's envy. Well, it must be nice. Yeah, it is. Wish I made that enough money to have that. That's jealousy. Oh, I'm just kidding. No, I'm afraid not. I'm not that foolish. Not that foolish. Charity rejoices that another receives blessings. So this love that disposes us to rejoice in the blessing of others, rather than being envious or jealous, is essential to possessing and to maintaining unity of the Spirit. Again, as we see tonight, and as we'll see as we continue to look through this, this love is absolutely necessary. If we are going to have, if we are going to maintain unity of the Spirit, this is a love that is far, far above any fleshly inclinations that you and I have. Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Brother Jim, if you'd come and